committee today is dealing with two provinces, Free State and Northern Cape. Oh, I know why Honorable McCarthy is here. It's because of Northern Cape. We're going to start with Free State. One of the reasons why we brought Free State closer, initially we would have gone to an oversight visit, and Free State was going to be our province. But when the program changed of Parliament and it looked like we're not going to be able to do the oversight, we then thought, let's invite them over because we're not going to be able to go to see. So that's why you came. It's easy. We just want to understand your spending pattern and to also brief us about progress on service delivery and everything else that you want to tell us. But you're giving us a high-level report. We should be finished with you at least by 11, so that we take the second call. And do I have any apologies first, maybe, before? Oh. We've got two apologies, apparently, from the members. Honorable Stole and Honorable Dambuza. Honorable Dambuza is apologizing. We have not even seen her yet in the committee, but there's an apology. And then Honorable Pam is running late, but she's on her way. Maybe from the delegation, let's hear if there are any apologies before we start.
Good morning, Chairperson. Apology from our new MEC, MEC Ntombela. She has tendered her apology in writing. I think she has given to the Secretary.
The new MEC for Human Settlement in Free State is Mrs. Ntombela. She has tendered an apology. I've also spoken to her just now. She called. She is in Harrismith dealing with some service delivery issues there. She would have loved to have been here. So that's the apology. And you know what we normally say. At least new people must present their faces in this committee before they apologize. But at least we can see and know who the family members are that have joined us. But anyway, the apology is noted. So I thought let's start then and hand over to the Free State delegation. They will introduce themselves and then go straight to the presentation. Over to you, HOG.
Thank you, Chair. Starting with myself, my name is Tim Mokhesi. I'm the HOD Human Settlement in the Free State. I have with me Mr. Thabiso Makepe, our chief engineer. And on the far left, I have Mrs. Nozipho Modikwe, our chief financial officer. So those are the introductions. Thank you very much. If I may start with the presentation. Chairperson, if you allow. I will not go through the background, the SWOT analysis, but just to indicate the executive summary in terms of our budget, how is it comprised of? 1 billion to give us 7,449 sites and 5,026 units. That's on a high level. And this is made up as follows. IRDP houses, 3,249 in individual subsidies, 220. Social and rental housing, 1,557, and that all adds up to 5,026. will also be servicing 7,449 sites. That's on the high level our budget. And this is just a graphical representation of the budget split. Per region, we have five districts. Firstly, Dabi, Lejwe Liputswa, Mangaung, Thabo Mofutsanyane, and Gariep. And this is how the budget is distributed and the sites, the number of sites per region or per district, and the units, as well as included in that is the title deeds. Now, in terms of which towns and which areas, we have tried also to indicate through a map, and where these sites are going to be in Mangaung and Lejwe Liputswa and so forth. Obviously, the lowest number of units is in Gariep, for obvious reason. It's a small area in terms of the population. Delivery targets per region, those are delivery targets per region. I've already alluded to that. This is the high level summary of that. Our MTSF in terms of numbers and targets, as at the 30th of October going towards 2019, we are clearly running in the deficit of 34,599. I must indicate that Mangaung's targets are not included here as yet, because that 49,380 is a combination of ourselves and Mangaung. And on individual subsidy housing market, we are running at a deficit towards 2019 of 19,144. That's what we have to achieve by 2019. And military veterans, 640 by 2019, and 4,032 on affordable housing gap market, and 1,680 that we have to achieve by 2019, and 149 by 2019 for CRU. This is the expenditure pattern, and currently a little bit ahead in terms of Mangaung and Thabo Mofutsanyane district, and the rest are running behind. In terms of regional performance to date, on sites, we are running about 5,485 behind, and on units, the 5,026, obviously, we are at the actual units, 2,790. Which is slightly above 50%. And obviously on title deeds, we have a problem with that. This is the current project that is running, that is going to add on to one of our, particularly two sites, the vessels prawn and almost complete. Sites almost complete and the units are ready to be built in the next month or so. Performance per region in terms of at various stages, we have currently 620 foundations, 969 wall plates, and 2,250, and that gives us 3,841, which obviously will add on to our to our targets going forward. This is the Friday PHP or ABT units. It's supposed to give us 1,000 units. Currently, it has given us only 178 units. This is a PHP ABT Alternative Building Technology in Freire, and also it's going to give us 740 sites which have not been accounted for at this stage. The contractor is on site. I think it's one project that was also started or pioneered by the current DG while he was still a DDG, and so this is the product. In terms of expenditure per milestones, this is how the expenditure has been: 59%, 133 on completions, and 52 on walls, wall plates, and on foundation, 43 year to date. Regional expenditure in terms of various programs, all the programs, this is how it stands. On the slabs, CRU work in progress, NHPRC, how much we spend on totally this, the town planning, and completed services and total planning of services. This is an area, Refeng Khotso in Dennisville, Metsimaholo, is going to give us 2,614 sites. We have already accounted for roughly around 779 sites. So in total, 2,614, the contractor is on site on that. It's an area just south of Sasolburg. It's part of Metsimaholo. Expenditure as of September, this, in terms of different programs, this is how it stands, as well as the allocations that we have received from the national department up to September. We did receive the bridging of 17 million from the provincial treasury so that we can continue with our work. As at the 7th of September, we are running at a deficit of 17 million. Houses for military veterans, provision of housing for military veterans. The province, through the executive council, has provided a top-up of 100,000 over and above the existing allocation by DMV. DMV provides 78,000 over and above the 110, and the province has provided 100,000 to build a 100 square meter house for the military veterans. I think the biggest problem in terms of this program has always been the availability. Of sites from the municipalities. This is what this is why the program is moving very slowly. We have built other. We did get sites in Paris and Kronstadt, where we have started building some of the houses for military veterans. They are at wall plate level as we speak. Institutional subsidies, 30 units for this. And in terms of the road towards meeting our yearly target, and this is how we, there are specific projects which I will allude to in our next, in the next slide, to say which projects are we banking on to meet our yearly targets. In other words, those projects that will make or break us. I will allude that to, I will speak about that in the next slide to identify which projects are going to give us numbers. We, in terms of the of number of units, total yearly target 3469. In terms of RDP, we think we are going to achieve 3,841, and on the CRUs, we have already achieved 448, which has been, this is a project in Machabeng, Maritzburg. It has just been handed over to us, and it has given us 448 units. And the CRU project in Mangaung, referred to as Dark and Silver City. There's a picture of that at the beginning of the presentation. That is the Dark City and Silver City. It's going to give us 812 units by the end of the year. And that, in total, is going to be give us 5,101, which is slightly below 5,026. And sites currently under construction, it's 5,484. We'll indicate which ones are those that are under construction at a later stage. This is the slide that I'm referring to. We, in terms of the number of sites, 1,964 we have already accounted for, and 2,790 units. Now, the Caleb Mtsabi, we are saying we should be in the position to achieve 5,225. We are confident because of the capacity of the contractor who is currently on site. And it's a joint venture, Edwin Construction and WBHO, and we're confident that they will be able to deliver those sites, given their capacity. Referring also, 1,056, the contractor is on site. We have shown the pictures of that earlier on. The only issue there has been a sewer outfall that needed to be taken care of. That has been taken care of. And the units will start also coming in. The Freire project, when it is complete, it will give us 740 units. I've indicated earlier that we have 740 sites. I've indicated earlier that as we speak, we have 178 units. Dark and Silver City, 812. End of the financial year, we have accounted already for 448 earlier on, which we say we have received delivery thereof. Alongside the CRU in Sosolbeck, we are building a cluster RDP or double story RDP, 128. We are confident also because of the capacity of the contractor that is there, that they will be delivered. They are on site, going on full steam ahead. And hillside view units, already the slabs are there, 1,500 sites have already been counted. It's only the number of units that we say we should be able to have those units by the end of the financial year. This is Kaila Mtsabi, which is basically the upgrading, and it also forms part of our catalytic project. It's one of the approved catalytic projects in the province, and this is the only in the province catalytic project that is at the implementation stage at this stage. Challenges, of course, budget cuts, that affects us all. And the subsequent time has not been revised since 2014. In certain instances, particularly in the province, we do have some water shortages in certain construction area. That in itself also hampers some delivery. And other challenges, like ESCOM connection fees, which are not necessarily catered for in a subsidy quantum. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, HOG, from the province of Free State. That's the presentation. Can we first see those that want to have comments? questions, and any other thing that you want to say. Let me start with Honorable Memil, followed by Honorable Makause, followed by Honorable... do you want to speak? Followed by Honorable Khurai, and then followed by Honorable Ngangacabashe. In that order.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me welcome the presentation from Freestadt, Hark Freestadt. It's quite simple. I like that you also break down even the foundations, tell us what is happening at foundation level, at the world level. I think I like that kind of reporting so that we know where things are. Also, generally, the presentation is optimistic. It does give us hope that things are indeed going to be fine. We have a duty as a portfolio committee to ensure that things indeed happen. Promises must be realized. At least with the work we're doing, we have no other option because the community out there can see when what was promised was not done. So before I even move, there was a good slide dealing with the production projections. We were not given. I hope it's going to be coming its way so soon. If we can be given, and other slides, there are some few other slides were not given, so it will be proper that either our staff must ensure that we got that. On your own submission, or on FLIPS, which is a program that assists our upcoming number of people, a growing sector, middle class, which includes our employees, teachers, and everybody, police, nurses, which gives hope to those people, because it's important that you must cater for. In your presentation, you did give a number of 220 for the province. So we think, indeed, that is too small. So if you were to say just assist teachers alone, if you are assisting 220 teachers alone in that province, you never done anything. Policemen, these are really poor. Police are poor. So we need to assist. Nurses the same, and even many other people who are earning below 15,000 who expect us to assist. So I think we really want to hear why is the FLIPS, or do we think this program is not important? And it's important because middle class, they really need our care, otherwise we may have problems. Title Deed is an area that we, as a committee, we are clear. It should not be an excuse. Why you can't move on that date? Why? We want an explanation. Why you're not moving on that date? Because already houses are there. You know, we talk pre-94, we talk post-94. So why you can't move? We think there we cannot justify why we have officials in provincial department. Why do we pay you every month when you can't give people that deed? You can't link up with the deeds office and everybody. Ensure that things happen. Remember, you are highly qualified to do this thing. What kind of qualification cannot give you the right to influence everybody else in the chain, whether it's the deeds office? Why can't we move on that deed? So we really want an explanation, but not an explanation alone. A program towards giving people title deeds, not justification, excuses. Whether you give whatever English, we want a plan. We want a plan. How are you going to correct it? Because we want title deed to our people. So the sooner, the better. So I accept that you are saying your performance generally
has dropped slightly, but we want then a plan to correct it. What's the plan? It must be clear plan how to correct it, including the free the program there. You have said you're looking at 1,000, more than 1,000, but you are at 100. So justification plus a plan to correct it. Justification alone won't help. You see, there would be people who would come here and then talk about thinking that God might assist in the portfolio. We have agreed that God has sent us to do things. We have everything from God to do things. So we want a clear program. Why? So, referring to God, Rebata, Yona Hoso, taking Yani, Rebata Nizidwa, referring to Gwana, everybody is looking at that one. I agree that it is promising. It must indeed live to that name. I'm quite happy, Chair, that this issue of veterans, you have clarified that the province on its own, they have decided to bring 100,000 to assist, and then you also the department. So I think if you can then break it down so that we clear at the house there, what is the in the end, the end product, so that we see, because the department, we're running the whole South Africa. So what we do, we want it to be uniform, because if in Freistadt they are given this much, and in Gauteng, which is known as the richest province, they are not getting that much. So in the other, so we need to find a way of harmonizing the these matters. But we sometimes we must learn from yourselves. So I think they look very beautiful. I must say those houses. Pictures have shown. Chair, I think I must leave it there, but thank you are here. Thank you that you also have women. We do check if it's not a male dominated department. We also want to see women as well. We know in first that there are women. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Memil. Honorable Makas.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also start by welcoming the presentation from the Free State Government. And I also wanted to speak on the missing part. I really would appreciate if the presentations that you are bringing to the Kapolo Committee are complete. Because as members from different parties, with our counterparts, then we're able to speak to whatever that the province has come to present to us, and we are more knowledgeable in terms of what is happening in your province. So next time, just bring us more details in a presentation. You cannot tell me that the whole of the state, this is all that you can do. I mean, the pictures are beautiful and nice, but we really need information on the projects that are happening, the projects that are in the Free State, and see if we are really making progress regarding that. The Free State is one of the provinces that has been on the news for many other reasons regarding housing and all of that. I was hoping that regarding the project that we that were highlighted by the media houses on how do you call it, on the not necessarily being fraudulent tender processes that were happening in the Free State. I was hoping that you would highlight on such activities. Because even during the past presentation on provinces, that was never actually dealt with in depth. And also the projects that are still outstanding, the issue of the title deeds, we cannot overemphasize on that, because it's an issue that affects our people. When our people are having houses and they don't own up to those houses, that is a serious issue. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Makase. Honorable Kwai.
Chair, thank you very much, and also thank the presentation from Free State. Chair, my concern again is the document itself that we, with due respect, request the documents must be numbered. So it's sometimes difficult to talk about this certain page because they are not paged. It's difficult. Two chairs. I just wanted to get an answer from the slides talked about delivery target per regions, where I see the districts, 5 units and title deeds, and when you look at the Carib, there's zero there. I don't know, Carib not having the site. But we have 439 units. Not only there, we need a second slide of the regional performance to date vis-a-vis the annual targets. Also, Carib, there's a lot of zeros there. I don't know what is happening. And in Tamu Mufusanyana. But the same slide, Chair, I wanted to understand, because they actually says that there's a lot of problems. What are those problems there? In that particular slide, he never explained those problems that we must understand. He said there are problems there. I wanted to know those problems. You're telling me, Chair, I have to page. The slides provision for the housing for the military veterans. How many military veterans also has been built up to date? And how many do you have in the province? Military houses in the province. I understand closer there are others that are constructed now, but in the entire province, how many? When you go to the last slide, the challenges, the budget cut, however, the target remains unchanged. If their current allocation, the province will not achieve its MTSF targets. Can the Free State just explain and satisfy us with that statement? The other one, Chair, can the Free State just explain to the committee, in terms of the policy of this Department of Settlement of building the houses in terms of the square meters, Free State managed to build more than the policy square meters that has been announced by the minister, and they tend to be up and coming for better square meters. Can they explain how did they achieve that? And the last one is this one. I never hear the presentation talks about the mining towns. I'm interested to know the progress in mining towns. I tried to check in all this presentation. I don't hear anything. Can they just explain? Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Nangatarash.
Thank you, Chairperson. We also appreciate the presentation. And number of areas has been covered by my colleague. I just want to focus on the expenditure pattern. On the slide number 20. Balance brought forward. Firstly, it's like we're not giving any money in April. The financial year starts on the 1st of April. Financial year. And in April, there's nothing. I take that you exhausted your budget for 2015. But I would want you to confirm to me that you exhausted the budget on 2015 and end of March, and then 1st of April there was nothing from the province, COFAC, because we are talking of the national allocation at the bottom of that. Let me go to the national allocation there in April. Now, you're already in September, 5 months of the financial year, they are already overspent of 17 million, such as 5 months. So we are still left with 7 months for the activities of the delivering of housing towards the end of financial year. And you have exhausted all the funds. But in terms of the delivery, the numbers doesn't talk to what you have already spent. The numbers that my colleagues and yourself at some stage that you have underperformed, and they don't talk to that 17, you already have an over expenditure of 17.8 million. How then are you going to, which budget? You are not telling us really. Where are you going to get the budget to spend for 7 months that is still coming? I mean, when I count 7 months, I'm counting from October, because your report ends on September, October to end of March. So, and the second question is that how are you going to offset the deficit that you have created? If you have a 17.8 million deficit within 5 months, within 10 to 12 months, how much are you envisage you are going to create of a deficit, and how are you going to offset that deficit? That's the first slide there. And then there's a bottom one. I'm not sure. I would need a clarity, but it talks to the same thing. Yeah, but this one is clear. Starting April is clear. Starting April, but it talks to the same thing. And if you go to your dashboard below, your actual expenditure and the delivery within the month, you could see with the delivery is very low in June going forward to September. How really is that going to assist us at the end of the financial year? So I would like, because we are dealing with the expenditure pattern, to really spend time getting clarity on that. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mazarashe and Honorable Members, for those questions of clarity. Most of the my comments, I think, have been covered by the members, because one clarity that is of interest to me is the question of the military veteran, because you say your target in the MKSF is about 670 houses that you want to build, but you have not even reached 100 now at this point in time. And so we would really want to know, how do you see yourself reaching that target? And we're very interested to hear the province telling us about their plans about the title deeds. We say this to all the provinces that come in front of us, that we must all remember that title deed is like that piece of land that our people now can really claim into, to say it's theirs. So it's very important to us to have this understanding of how is your program. When the National Department was here, they have explained to us that EAAP has been given the task of dealing with the issue of diabetes, assisting provinces, and that there is a steering committee in place, and that there's supposed to be steering committees in provinces, which would comprise of districts and municipalities. We would want to understand if that is in place in Free State, and how is the progress on that. And in actual numbers, how many title deeds have you dispensed so far? And the expenditure patterns are a bit worrying. Maybe you will explain to us. I think Honorable Nganga Tabashe has gone into details on this. Already on 2014-15, you had exhausted your budget. By the time you got your allocation for 2016-17, you were on zero budget. Already now, you are on a deficit of 17 million. And work has to go on. Maybe you need to explain to us the interactions that we have had around this issue with the department, the national department and the province, and how are you seeing yourselves being assisted in this matter, and what is the remedial action moving forward. It's critical to us, because if you can have over expenditure year in and year in out, that also talks to poor planning. That also talks to probably putting targets that are not in line with the money that you have. And now you are spending on money that you already don't have. So it's important to us that we have an understanding on this issue, so that we can also leave this committee understanding what the province is hoping to deal with this issue. So the department can also assist and come in and explain to us what interactions they have had with the province on this particular issue, because it looks a bit worrying at this point in time. One area that the last time you were here, there was a big issue about your spending patterns about the rectification program, which we questioned you, and we were a bit worried, and we also agreed that it's a bit alarming. So I just wanted to have that sense of comfort to say that has been dealt with, and now you are on course. And remember as well, we have agreed with the department that the issue of rectification is something that must be slowed down and be able to spend money more on new projects. I just wanted to have that kind of comfort that what is happening around that area. I know it is not in your presentation, but it's something that we discussed in detail with you when you were last here. In your presentation as well, we don't get the comfort of the informal settlements that you have in the province. We know for a fact that in Mangaung, this is an area that seems to have informal settlements growing. Also in Sosselbeck, we know that there is, and we also know that around the areas where there is mining towns, there is informal settlements. And it might be that the sites that you are talking about in the presentation are the sites that are in those areas, but you did not explain. So maybe if you can just unpack that, so that we have a sense of comfort that the issue of informal settlements is something that is being dealt with. because it's important for us, because Free State and particularly Mangaung is also being affected with the rapid urbanization, and therefore we need to find a way to have comfort that you are dealing with that area. So if we can have that sense, I would be very happy. I'm not going to go into the Free State part because I think my colleagues have touched on it. Your target is 1,000, but at this point in time, you only have 178. This is an APT project, which all of us are interested on. What are the challenges? Why is there slow progress in there? Because we can learn lessons. Even the department can learn lessons on what then needs to happen to make sure that in other areas they can deal with whatever learning from yourself. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe to start with the first question on FLISP. We have had a high rejection rate on the side of the banks in the province, and for various reasons. However, I think for the first time we are going to have a FLISP related project in the form of the hillside view in terms of various phases. We have a specific project around FLIS that includes fixed, that mixed housing development in hillside view is going to be specifically part of it related to FLIS. And also to try and make it affordable. In terms of the developer, we are actually fixing a price on that for the simple reason that we are of the view that if we have invested in the infrastructure there, as well as the land cost through the municipality, and the contractor can only, or the developer can only pay, can only claim so much because he doesn't have to capitalize all other costs except money on perhaps on the top structure. Basically, this is where. So we will be able to control the price and make it more affordable below the 300,000 mark. That's our target in terms of that, to make that affordable. So I think for the first time we'll be having a FLIS related project that will in a way control the price. The majority of the FLIS that we are having currently are simply walk-ins. We have never had an instance where there is a specific project. So we are trying to move that, and also to try and use our own DFI in a form of FDC, Free State Development Corporation, which, by the way, in the past used to run, they had a bond, they were running, they were bond loans, they were issuing loans, and try and resuscitate that through a once-off capitalization by the province. So those are some of the initiatives to try and see if we can do things differently. On the issue of the title deeds, yes, there is a steering committee. And I think part of our main challenges has always been the municipality. Our problem in the main is in addressing the backlog. We are pre-1994 and so on. This is where we find we have difficulty. And in certain instances, we have, even in Mangaung itself, in the metro itself, there are instances where we have to start all over again to open townships, because townships are never open. We have instances like that. But suffice to say, I'm not here to make excuses around the issue for title. I understand the importance of that, and it is specifically also in the manifesto of the ruling party. So it's extremely important, and I think even our current MEC is very passionate around the issue of title. It's in the main. Sometimes lack of cooperation from municipalities as well. But I think we are addressing that through the Office of the Premier. to say particularly, please sign those deeds of sale, because this is where we are sometimes getting a lack of agency around the backlog. The issue of the Freedy program. Part of the problems and the challenges there has always been in particular the, but I think this has been resolved. Have been particularly on the ABT side. The disputes between the parties involved, and as a result, we have taken a decision to, in other words, to they were supposed to build a 1,000 units, and you know, I had a serious discussion with the parties in the disputes to say, look, we cannot allow your disputes as parties at the expense of service delivery, because all of us are under pressure in terms of delivery, and therefore we decided to terminate and tow them down up to 200 units. But it will not be, in our view, it will not make any sense to put brick and mortar alongside that, particularly because we want to flag that as a pilot project and a successful project. Because if you put brick and mortar alongside ABT, it is as if that we don't trust what we have done before and therefore why we have changed. So we are looking for an alternative provider registered and put a different ABT in that. We already have plans for that. But the 740 sites that I'm referring to are additional sites that are going to be service sites, and in that we expect also to increase the number of units. You'll know that we have indicated 178 as the units. These are the units right now, but there is also a scope also to increase that. We are trying to be conservative in this regard. Reform also is also an informal settlement. It's also part of the upgrading of the informal settlement. It's an area in Dennisville which had buckets as part of sanitation. So it's actually and because the majority of our project, including Caleb Mutsavi as well. Caleb Mutsavi, much as it is a catalytic project, is an informal settlement. It's an upgrading of informal settlement. And a number of projects in our business plan in the next MTF, the majority of them are upgrades of informal settlement. You know, in Mining Town, it's Machabe. With us, we have completed, we have upgraded the informal settlement called Tandanani, and alongside Tandanani there is Phuket, which is also an informal settlement as well. So we are very active in the area of informal settlement. And then as Ray, K10, it's an informal settlement. So we have very few green fields in our MTF period. The majority of our projects are actually upgrading of informal settlements. Maybe it did not come out very clear, but a lot of them are in an informal settlement area. And military veterans, I think the question here was the slow moving of military veterans. We are going to provide 50 additional on the very same development. Mangaung itself has also approved Vista alongside Inside View, Vista Park 2 and 3. And in that area, we will be providing military veterans houses. In the next year, already in that development, at least we have been able to secure 50 sites for that. and our apart from the fact that our biggest problem around the issue of military has been sites, but what we are also faced with is also the data that comes from Department of Military Veterans. We were here last week, and that issue is not only our province that is affected by that, but generally all the provinces are affected by the qualifying criteria, the database that the DMV gives to the province, and that's one of the of the two, because most of them, when we subject them to our own criteria, they do not qualify. You know, there are certain, there is a regulations that governs who qualifies, but what DMV tends to do, or Department of Military Veterans, is that they will give us the raw data as it is, and we have to do all these other processes to try and, for example, in terms of the regulations, you may not, the people who qualify may not, you may not receive more than, if you earn more than 125,000 per annum, you don't qualify. But, you know, DMV does not carry this MILVET through those particular processes. And some of them, we get instances where we find some of them, in terms of the data that are given, they actually own properties, sometimes two or three properties, some of them. Now, we are given that data, and we have to go through those processes. So this issue was strongly emphasized in last week when we were called by the portfolio committee on those issues. And this does not only affect us. The fraudulent tendering, I'm assuming we are referring to what led to some few years ago the Free State being gazetted for the investigations in respect of various other issues around issues of housing allocation and so on. This investigation has been carried, is still being carried out by the SIU. From time to time, we do receive a report or the recovery, but this recovery obviously does not come to us. It goes right into the general revenue. So SIU is handling this issue. On the delivery targets per region, specifically Gharib in particular. Gharib, unfortunately, in terms of its population, is decreasing. And, you know, it's we are driven by the needs for housing. Yes, indeed, there's 493 for this particular period, but it's because also of the priorities. The greatest need is in Mangaung and Sosol or Maitimaholo and Machabeng, and so that's what actually drives the allocation of the budget. Rectification, yes, we have moved away from that, from the rectification. But I must also indicate, Chair, that the rectification in respect of the Free State was not more on the repeat work, but on the dilapidated pre-1994 units. And it was not necessarily, we have a lot of those, and we still have that in the province. I think what was the biggest problem also was the classification in terms of how we went about in classifying that, which we felt that we perhaps should have classified that differently so that we don't create a wrong impression that it is repeat work. It was never a repeat work. But we have moved away from that. The square meterage, there was a discussion between the provincial leadership and the minister. We have resolved that. It's 40 square meter now, and this is where we are at the stage. Going forward, there was that intervention by the minister and a discussion with the provincial leadership around that. So we are 40 square meter in terms of the norms and standards. Expenditure patterns and how, in terms of the amount of what we have already expended, I think that was the question, vis-a-vis, we are almost halfway, and we are at 71%. Now, what we have done, indeed, the observation by the Honourable Member is correct. What we have done, because we have been carrying these accruals for a very long time now, over in the party. You will see that at the beginning of the financial year, and this is always the case. We have a high level of accruals, and which comes from the previous years. So, in terms of the current one, what we have done, particularly for those big projects that we. Where we have to deliver en masse. For example, on Kelebo Mtsadi and Rifeng-Khotso. We've spoken we have had an engagement with the contractors in terms of the delivery that we require, taking into consideration exactly what the Honourable Member has observed, and agreed that we will front-load. In other words, they may not, in terms of the delivery, deliver at the pace that we know that we can deliver. And at the end of the financial year, we will then, or at the beginning of the financial year, we will do exactly. In other words, we should be able to pay off on that. That's how, because they are able to do that because of their size. So in particular, only on the two projects. The rest, we can afford to carry them in the normal business cycle. And that's how we have tried to deal with this particular challenge that we are referring to, which we have agreed because of their size, they are able to do that. Okay. I don't know if I have to.
Thank you very much, HOD. Any word from the department?
Thank you, Chair. I'll also ask my colleague to comment as well. I think we need to accept that there is a cash flow challenge in the city. And that's affecting, I think, Honorable Ngala Kabashi hit it on the head. I would recommend very strongly, perhaps, that maybe the HOD can touch on this issue as well, that if nothing is done, then there's going to be a problem in terms of managing cash flow in the Free State. I've met with the HOD, and the HOD of Provincial Treasury, Mr. Mahlatsi. We met more than a month ago, and there is a recommendation that they have put on the table. One of them is linked to the DBSA. In fact, it's on the agenda of the MINMEC of the 24th of November. Because for us to be able to get a little bit of a boost on the cash flow, we would have to revisit a number of options, and one of them is intended to ask DBSA to assist the province, even if we get a short-term relief. The second option that we also put on the table, Chair, is to ask the Metro, and in fact we wanted to arrange a meeting with the mayor and the city manager and the HOD for human settlements in the metro to discuss this issue. We feel as a department that there is no need for the province to pay for the service sites on units that are delivered in Mangaung Metro. The metro has to pay for those service sites. Other metros are doing the same. KZN is doing the same. Joburg Metro is doing the same. Tshwane is spending a lot of money using its own USDG to service sites, to pay for the service sites. Cape Town is doing exactly the same. We think that we can ask Mangaung Metro to pay for the service sites, and that will help the province to have a positive cash flow if those two things can be done. But also it's important to acknowledge why we got here in the first place. I see the HOD has listed all the challenges, and one of them is the subsidy quantum, that the subsidy quantum has not been increased for 2 years. That cannot be challenge number one in the Free State. I think the biggest challenge in the Free State was the higher spec from the word go. The higher spec is expensive. It doesn't come cheap, and that's what has depleted your cash flow. And I think we need to acknowledge that problem. Also, I think you've raised the issue of the cost of rectification. Those two were the biggest main cost drivers. If you're building at 50 square meter, you are going to pay not less than 180,000 per unit. And you can go and look at the unit cost in the Free State. In fact, Treasury has raised that as an issue as well. So that was what affected the cash flow in the first place, and it's been going on for a very long time. But also, I think it's also important to acknowledge that they also took some time to recover from what happened in 2011. You talked about some of the investigations that SIU has been dealing with, the purchase of the material supply in 2011 also affected the Free State's cash flow. They have been in the business of digging a hole to close a hole, because that's basically what you do when your cash flow is not positive. And that material supply purchase was a very big purchase, because it amounted to almost 400 million rands worth of purchase. And they struggled to recover from that. So there are a lot of problems. But I think I also need to state here, Chair, that the Premier and the Minister have met in the last quarter, and both the Premier and the Minister have agreed that we need to go back to the 40 square meter spec. There is a resolution in that regard. Myself and the HOD were in that meeting, where the Premier and the Minister agreed that we must stick to the national norms and standards, because 40 square meter is a national norm. Anything that you do above the 40 square meter is going to cost you. And if you still want to go ahead and build a higher spec, then you need to raise your own revenue. You need to get your own funding. But you can't use the grant. It's illegal, in fact, to use the grant to build a 50 square meter house. And both the Premier and the Minister have agreed that that needs to be corrected. And I'm quite positive that going forward, the HOD and the team will normalize the situation there. I don't know if my colleague Neville Cheney wants to add as well. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Just to address the one issue around the title deeds, I think, Chair, we have got a national steering committee, and I can indicate that the Free State has got and is managing it. I think just to be fair to the province, there are difficulties that the province is experiencing, particularly with municipalities, particularly in relation to, and the HOD might want to just sort of elaborate, there are a few municipalities where municipal managers refuse to sign off the relevant documentation which allows for that. So that is there. I think notwithstanding that fact, we've indicated that the province needs to improve its delivery rate, and we've indicated. Chair, I think it's important to note that in doing so, that the province has indicated, is one of the few provinces where they've allocated a specific chief director to deal with that. So the intention is there, and I think that the funding issues we will deal with. The last point is that I think we share the concerns, particularly around the informal settlements program, as well as the deliverables in relation to the mining towns. And we've indicated that as part of the 2017-2018, we must correct that, particularly in relation to what is occurring in that, given the fact that we've ring-fenced money specifically for the program. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. No, I was thinking of giving a solution to the issue. The questions we have asked, the HOD tried to answer, but very, very vague. We tried to really dodge the question. I think even the input by the department is trying to assist, even on mining towns, even on informal settlement, but even on flips, the HOD is saying these numbers may be improved in the bigger project where they will be now having those. But flips should cater throughout the province. You can't have a teacher moving from Harib. Oh, yes. No, assisting, yes, indeed. I'm proposing that the HOD and the team note what we have said, we have our comments. Go and prepare another report, which must give details of what you're doing on informal settlement, what you're doing on mining towns, what you're doing or you're planning to do on flips, a report that we can hold you up to in future. So it must be given to us in 2 weeks, the Office of the Chair, on Harib, and you don't force people to migrate to Metsimaholo, to Mangaung, because when you don't deliver to small towns, you're forcing them to go to Soweto, everybody. So do deliver, even if people are small. It can't be excused that they are small. Otherwise, you want them. So the proposal, Chair, even on title deed, let them go and rewrite the report. It must be detailed. Give clear numbers, planned numbers. Give clear solution on areas we have already assisted you to pinpoint. We must have a commitment from you, from the presentation, so that in the coming presentation we can remind you of what you have. But for now, what you have written is dodgy. It's dodgy. It's not committing. It's not putting you to the corner to the numbers. So put yourself to numbers. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Honorable Minister, what do you want to say before I give you? Are you going to give me a solution?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Chairperson, in the light of what has been observed by the portfolio committee and the response by the DG, I propose that we monitor system closely, and by monitoring them, they've given us a report up to the second quarter of the spending patterns of the current financial year. And the cash flow problem is a serious problem. So it means they need to be monitored, and for us to monitor them, we'd like them to come for the next quarters, for the next two, the third quarter to come back and to report on the third quarter. When the national department come and report on the third quarter, they must come with them so that we do a close monitoring, and then on the first quarter as well, so that we monitor that. But also want also to interrogate the USDG spent by the Metro, and if needs be, DG, through your chair, would want the Mangaung Metro to come as well, to come to us between the two, before the end of the financial year, maybe on the third quarter, so that we monitor what are they doing. They might have to, it's not a practical solution, but they might have to pay back some money in terms of the money that is being spent on the infrastructure. But usually the Mandau, yes, because they do have a USDG and they must come and account to us how have they spent the USDG if they still want the money from over and above the USDG that they get direct, and then they still require money from the province to cover the infrastructure cost on the servicing of site. So Chair, that's my take. Because if you see if we move in this phase, even if you calculate on the milestone, they are already on the 101 spent. The way you have allocated your slides, it's already on 101%. So we are really we have to see how they are resolving this. And the CFO must come closer. National CFO must come closer to the COVID. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, indeed it has been a worthwhile interaction with Free State, and I think it was good that they came, because initially when we did not want to invite them, because we were going to go there and actually see these projects for ourselves, and I think it was important that we had interacted with you guys before the end of this day, before we go on the holiday, so that we all know that the challenges we are facing. On the area around, I think the issue of the military veterans, the National Department of Human Settlement and the DMV must actually finalize this issue. I think because all provinces are coming here raising the same concerns, I think finally this thing between the DMV and the DHS must be finalized now on who actually is a military veteran, who is supposed to be allocated to this home. Once and for all, so that it doesn't sit and become an issue of the provinces, or the provinces have an excuse of why the challenges around this. I think we need to have a final, guideline once and for all between the two departments. Because I heard the minister of DMV talking about this thing in the media and saying yes. The database is polluted. It is not as clean as they would want it to be. And if it's polluted on them and we rely on it, it becomes a challenge. So I think it needs to be dealt with. I think all the other areas, we really are not very comfortable with the issue that the presentation did not deal much on the mining towns. We'll tell you why, because mining towns have been identified by the president as a key area, and we know that there's teams that have been put in place, and we know that Free State has got mining towns. So we just are worried about that. So the next presentation must just be a little bit in detail around what is being done around the mining towns, so that we can see what the challenges are. Because when the National Department reports, it reports on the mining towns in Free State. But Free State, when they come, they don't report on the mining towns in Free State. So we just worried about that area. And for us, we can't overemphasize the issue of informal settlements. Because remember, informal settlements deals with even what we are dealing with as a country. The issue of people that are invading, empty land. The issue of the people that are even invading the houses that are being built that are not necessarily the beneficiaries. It comes from this area. So it's important for us to see that there's a plan in place that is watertight, that the province is dealing with. But otherwise, as everybody has said, we would want to have that presentation again, a bigger one. You don't have to come and present it, but we would want to have that presentation, whether you send it to the department and it comes to us, a bigger presentation with all those details. It must come even before we bring you back in the next year, so that we can see. Because we know that these things you are doing, but you did not put them in the presentation. So we just want a bigger presentation so that we can have a sense of what is going on. Thank you very much. It was not too bad. You still are standing. You have survived. Please. So you can always come back to the portfolio committee. We don't guillotine people here. Thank you so much.
we're done with Free State.
I don't see
Northern Cape, so maybe once they are preparing and clearing, let's take a 5-minute break and then we will come back. If Northern Cape is not here, we will deal with the other issues also waiting for them, like the report and the minutes. So we will exactly at half past 10. I'll start.
The flight is delayed because of the storm in Joburg. So if they miss that one. And buy a tour, come and see the buy your tour.
So you must bring a Kwatelan from DBSA. I'm going to go to the hospital.
I think colleagues, whilst, because we don't need the department on this one, whilst you are waiting for Northern Cape, whilst Iman Kaluku, honorable members, I'm meeting in, please, dear sir, the harassment here. Whilst we are waiting for Northern Cape, whilst we will hear from the department where they are, can we deal with the minutes and dispense with them whilst we are waiting, so that we can multitask and not wait long? Yeah, the first set of minutes are the minutes of the 11th of October, which we're dealing with. The department, the annual performance, 11th of October. Can I see a mover for the adoption of the minutes? Honorable Horan, seconded by Honorable Macau. The second set of minutes, let me start with the oldest one. The second set of minutes, can we be orderly? The second set of minutes is the minutes of the 30th of August, which were held in S12A, which were dealing with the department when they came to brief us on the eradication of title deeds. That's the meeting where we were told about the steering committee, the AAP was there. That's the meeting. Can we move? Honorable Memezi, seconded by Honorable Kata. Honorable Memezi, can you be ordered? The third set of minutes is the minutes of the 25th of October, which was held in V119, where we were dealing with the four entities: the NHBRC, the CISOS, the AAP, and the SHRA, where they were coming to present to us. Can I have a mover? Honorable Khurai, seconded by Honorable Nkadime. The last set of minutes is the minutes of the 8th of November, which was last week, where we were dealing with Mpumalanga and the province on their spending patterns, and NHBRC coming to give us their turnaround. Can I have a mover? Honorable Nkadime, seconded by Honorable Memezi. Those are the four sets of minutes that we have adopted. Done. May I know if Northern Cape is here? They are coming. Can they come? Because once I finish with the second item and they are not here, I'm closing the meeting. The second item, whilst we are waiting for Northern Cape, I'm making your life easy so that when they are finished, we finish with them, we go. Yeah. We don't have to stay here. The report of Gauteng on oversight visit. Yes, Honorable Mganga Tabasha.
Can we, I plead that we go back to the agreed time that we said is 9:30, and then the items on the agenda fit into that time of 9:30. Thank you, Chair.
But now I'll come back to that one. I've noticed. Can we deal with Gauteng and then I come to your point? Okay? Yes. Okay. Reports on portfolio committee on the Gauteng. It's your oversight visit, basically, that we went there. Honorable Makausa was not there. Honorable Nkadimeng was not there. So let's deal with those that were there. Yes, just adopt the report. Can we?
we do that before Northern Cape is moving in now? Doesn't help me. Okay, Honorable Khurai. Okay. Sorry, and seconded by Honorable Sam. Thank you very much. That takes us. Honorable Ngangacabashe is proposing that maybe 9 o'clock is a bit steep. I know why she says it. So that we go back then to meeting starting at 9:30, but we don't change the time where we finish, and we still finish at 1. She also says because she knows that I manage time very well, we won't have issues. So can we then agree that 9:30 will be, that's the time now we will start portfolio. So we won't start at 9 so that everybody is not under pressure. 9:30 will be the time. Thank you very much. Now we are in Northern Cape. Now we move on to Northern Cape. Thank you very much for gracing us with your visit. We have been missing you, MEC. Thank you very much for coming. The MEC is here, the HOD is here. We just brought you in. We're dealing with provinces generally. We dealt with Mpumalanga last week. We just dealt with Free State now. We're dealing with you. We will be dealing with Gauteng next week. Basically, don't feel that you are coming into the slaughterhouse. You're not. It's just a proper process of our oversight that we just want you to come and interact with us. Also because in the last interaction we had with you, there were areas that we said come back and just clarify them, go and work on them. So that's basically why you are here. And thank you very much for coming. I'm not going to pretend that everybody knows who you are, all of you, so I'm going to hand over to the team to introduce themselves and then decide how you're going to do the presentation. But from my side, you are welcome. Thank you so much. Over to you, MEC.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and because we are all honorable members, it is an honor to be in the Portfolio Committee. With me, I'm Elvin Bothus. I'm the MEC of COGSA in the department since 2013. Before that, I was MEC of Social Development. With me, it's the new head of the department of COGSA. We had to strengthen the department, and we brought in a consummate professional, Mr. Denver van Heerden. He must have been here, Honorable Chair. So that is the two of us. There's supposed to have been someone that are supposed to join us, one of our line officials, but I think between myself and HOD, I think we are capable to dispense with the task at hand. Maybe I must also just apologize to the Portfolio Committee Chair. I actually attended only once a session here. The last time I was not informed about the invitation that has been extended to the MEC, because the invitation only came via the Director General to the head of the department, and I know it has been interpreted wrongly. So I think apologies for the issues that relates to that issue's concern. But the HOD, Honorable Chair, will lead a presentation. We will in particular focus around our BNG housing, because that still is the basic foundation of our human settlements agenda. We will speak about the challenges in the presentation around finance link subsidy program, the FLIPS program, and why we have not been able to achieve in regards to that issues. will articulate on our progress as it relates to military veterans, which is a area of high political concern. We will speak about the restoration of justice program, the title deeds backlog program, and what we have done in regards to the title deeds issue. And I think the head of the department, part of the brief, is also to touch on the community rental units, your CRUs, that we are rolling out, and maybe some of the concomitant challenges. And importantly, Honorable Chair, for the Portfolio Committee, is the financing cemetery as it relates to how we are spending people's money in the housing program, our performance base, our financial targets, and any reasons for variations or deviations from that. Having said that, Chair, I'll give over to you because I know you have the privilege to ask the presenter actually to assume this stage. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, MEC, for that executive summary. Over to you, HOD.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning to the committee members. The presenter is still on his way, so I will stand in for that, Chairperson. Chair, the slide in front of you is the numbers we had for 1st of April 2016 until 30 September 2016. We'll see with the UISP, the units targeted were 264, and the actual delivery was 694, so it's an over delivery of 340. And new individual units, planned target is 368. Actual delivery as of 30 September is 189, and under delivery of 179. The sites that were actually delivered were 652, and it is a variance of 652 for the semester. And the flips, planned target was 15, the actual delivery is 6, and the variance is 9. Military veterans, our planned target for the semester was 50, actual delivery is 30, and the variance is 20. My title deeds pre-1994, the planned target was 700, actual delivery 401, and the variance was 299. The title deeds post-1994 is 2,800, and actual delivery is 1,186, and the variance is 1,614. The title deeds, new developments is 200 targeted, and actual delivery was 40, and the variance was 160. As a summary, total plans planned for units is 697. The other, which is of title deeds, 3,700, and the actual delivery for the period was on site 652, units 919, and on title deeds is 1627. The variances is over delivery on site 652, units 132, and the sites 2013. On the next page is the summary of the financials. For sites was planned from 39 million, units 34. Actual expenditure on sites was 22, on units 38. The variances for sites is minus 17, and for units it's 3814. New individual units, 3,000, 3 million. For units, is 71 million. The sites, actual expenditure was only 773, and for units, 31 million. The variance is 2,227 for the sites and 39,977 for units. It flips. It's one plant was 1091. The actual units is 360 and variant 731. Other programs, not MTSF, was other was 11778, other 25128, and the variance is 13350. Military veterans, planned budget was 13198. The actual expenditure was 2534, and the variance is 10664. Title deeds, pre-94, was 1125, and actual expenditure was 488, and the variance 637. Title deeds post-1994 was 4555, and actual expenditure is 1452, and with the variance of 13103. And title deeds new developments, planned was 300,000, actual expenditure 67, and the variance is 233. In summary, the totals was planned for sites 42 million, planned for units was 120, other was 17, and the actual expenditure as of 30 September was 22 million, for sites 72 for units, and for title deeds 27 million. The variance in total is 17 million under expenditure. The drawdowns and expenditure analysis as of 30 September. We had a drawdown on the 1st of April of 39 million. Expenditure for that month was 2 million. And for May, it was 35, expenditure 40, and the balance was 21. On 1 June, it was 32 million, expenditure was 29. And then for 1st of July, 30 million, the expenditure of 35, and balance of 4. And we also, on 1st of August, had expenditure of 34, and 1st of September, 22, but we had no drawdowns for that 2 months. The total drawdown was 137 million, and the actual expenditure was 128 million, and the balance was 9.9 million. That is just a graph of the housing grant expenditure up to 1st of September 2016. Chairperson and committee members. Stop structures at various levels of construction and then payments made during the first semester of 2016-17. Our foundations and slabs completed 340 and the amount was 4154. Wall plate, not yet the roof, the height is 239. And expenditure was 10,755. Roof finishes not completed, not yet signed off, not yet counted as completed units is 468. And expenditure was 19.992. And finishes, ceiling and aprons, total was 1021, and expenditure was 34,001. The chairperson is some photographs of what the houses look like, and this is specifically for Larato Park, which is a catalytic project in Kimberley. The challenges that the province has experienced, chairperson, is that the under-delivery of top structures is attributed to the slow performance by local contractors and limited local supply of materials. Perhaps I should just explain that, Jefferson, is that the soil conditions in the Northern Cape are very, very problematic. We have two specific problems. The one is dolomite, and which causes the lead time of the actual starting of the building project to be delayed because of geotech and soil condition reports that need to be required for us to actually start building. It also have the negative of the fact that you would spend money on geotechs to find out that you actually cannot build on those sites. The other is the fact that material is sourced from Gauteng, Free State, and the Western Cape, and I think the committee will understand that the distances in the Northern Cape is problematic. We actually had a study done through our PPMU, and it was established that it's costing the province 6 rand to transport one brick that is costing 1 rand 80 cents. So the cost of building in the Northern Cape is a lot higher than what you would experience in the other provinces. Now, the first quarter was also hampered by the late approval of the Human Settlements Grant Business Plan, and you will see in the first quarter that our expenditure and both the delivery of the houses were very, very low. We are correcting the issue in the sense that in terms of proper planning, we would be able to deliver on the planned targets coming the new financial year. It is difficult to come into a department in half of a financial year, so we found ourselves actually having had challenges in terms of proper planning. But I can assure the committee that will not happen in the financial years going forward, and especially not the next financial year, because our planning have been done properly this time around. You will also see that although for the first and second quarters, our and perhaps I'm going ahead of the committee, because especially the third quarter, we have actually over-delivered now on the houses and the units targeted, but that we will report when we reappear at the committee again. The local municipalities were also only informed of the allocations late in the quarter, and the procurement of projects was delayed in order to await final approval. Non-compliance with NHBRC regulations on top structures causing delays in the completion of work and lagging expenditure, and then adverse outcomes of stability testing conducted in mining towns, and especially in the John Taule Gatsewe district, with soil classifications of D3 and D4 as per NHBRC guidelines. The challenges continue. The department is dependent on conveyance to effect registrations. I also need to indicate, Jefferson, and it's on the third bullet here, is that the Northern Cape registrations are all done in Cape Town and in Vryburg, the deeds offices, and I'm told that the process are taken very long because we are standing in queues for the documentation. I am also told by the deeds office that as from 1st of February 2017, the office in Kimberley will now deal with all the Northern Cape title deeds, and I'm confident that it will now go much quicker to have the title deeds over the Northern Cape registered. The offices in Cape Town and in Vryburg are busy with the process of the relocation of these title deeds to the Kimberley office. Then we have a problem with deceased beneficiaries, and especially those prior 1994 and untraceable beneficiaries to deal with the finalization of the title deeds. I think that is from my side. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you very much, HOD. Northern Cape,
presentation. Queries, questions? Honorable Memezi, Honorable Kata, Honorable Katimeng, Honorable Makause, Honorable Pam, in that order. And what? Kandukbo, Honorable Ngangakabas.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I wish to acknowledge and appreciate the presentation of the report by the HOD and the MEC. Welcome to the Portfolio Committee. We join the chair. We also note as a Portfolio Committee the area you're coming from. I think we take note of the situation, the vastness of the area. But we, in spite of that, we still think wherever you are, you plan according to your situation. If you know your environment, you know you have vast areas, then you plan accordingly. Even if, whether you talk transportation, then the planning becomes even more critical so that you don't cry. You see, so we from rural areas where shops were far away, one person who will go to the shop, we will give a long list to that person so that for the whole week we don't have a problem of going to the shop. Now you want to buy one brick, now which means you will forever cry tears when the reality is poor planning. You plan according to your situation. You know your area is vast, it's not going to change. Because people are coming to other areas. The more you don't deliver, you complain. People are running away from you. The next thing, your area will cease to be called Northern Cape. You will be called something else. So the sooner you have interest, obviously, to ensure that you exist. The more you give excuses, you're making it easy, Uti. Your existence is problematic because you are telling us that it is really difficult to exist there. So which means we must then assist you to be called elsewhere. So planning then would be your answer. That's the reason why we want top managers to be people who are highly trained from universities. It's because we want you to be knowledgeable, to be able to really go beyond these things. So we quite, sorry that you are not delivering per your own target. But we also not very happy that your targets are very low as well. You know, let's talk about the flips. You plan to assist 15 individuals. So, you know, flips is to assist teachers, policemen, nurses, many other people who fall, officials who fall, workers who fall in that category. Now, when you only target to assist 15, we want to know who are those lucky 15? What informed that number? We want to know them. Who are they? Why are they this small? So because it makes us to think to get a flips assistance there. It should really be a lucky one. I think the number is too low. If you were to spread it to your big town, I don't know which one teacher in that. So I think if you can improve, because we understand your vastness, but I'm saying planning can also assist you. You can do better with better planning. So your military vet, your program, you really not doing according to your own plan. So do live up to your plan, and because it justifies your existence as a province. otherwise you're questioning it yourself without knowing that you are questioning your existence. You see? So title deeds is an area where we think South Africans, people who were previously marginalized and excluded to own anything, to own land, through the title deeds, through this delivery of houses that the new government has given to the people, they must be given this land and the houses they live in. So the title deed is a proof. Even if a person, after waiting for long, then is called upon by the higher beings up there, but the children, you see, must be still be given. So title deed program, you must find every reason to speed it up. Whether it's done in Cape Town, done in Freiburg, but assisted, it must move faster. We're not very happy at all, the numbers of the title, because we think it is a low-hanging fruit, because it's something that the government is already there. Now we must say to South Africans, these are the pieces of land we have given to South Africans who previously under apartheid didn't get anything, because apartheid was clear. If you have a color like mine, you didn't have anything to get. But today, people are getting, so we want title deed and land where these RDP houses are situated to be given to the people. So that program, please, the next report, we must, where you have not moved, but the report must give us good, by this time you want to move to this, people will be having the proof of owning this land, so that at least we must give hope to people who are reasonable. They must see that this government, you are delivering indeed. You must give them proof. Mining towns and informal settlements. So you see, mining started in Kibali. We are from there. My grandfather was working there. So it's an area where we must make a difference. We must at least seem to those that are still there. They represent our great grandfathers. So we want to hear a story about the development of the mining town. So we think you tried, but it's not really convincing. We want a detailed report on how you are moving. The same with your informal settlement program. I think we need you to be clearly show us. We appreciate the vastness, but planning would assist you. So we want more reports. Excuses are not good for learned people, because learned people must provide solutions. Once you become a champion of excuses, so which means you think God must come and help you, and he does not do that, because he has created you to assist the people. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Memes. MEC will bear with us in this portfolio committee. Honorable Memes was almost a pastor.
Yeah.
So that's how he preaches to everybody that comes in front of this committee. We allow him to do that because we want him to appeal to your consciences. Honorable Kata.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you for the presentation. My first question is on the UISP. I see that you targeted 264 units and then you over by 340, which is almost more than, you know, 100%. And my question is, how many informal settlements do you have in Northern Cape? Where did you get the budget for this UISP if you were over in terms of your target? And then in terms of, I want to agree with Upastor Memezi in terms of the title deeds. Your figures are low, but I'm worried that with the pace that you are going on, these figures might end up going high. And my question is, and perhaps the department can also assist the role of EAAB to assist you in terms of the title deeds. Because in your presentation, you did not mention their involvement, whether they are assisting you or all those things. And then in terms of, I will run straight to your challenges, which the first one I want to agree with, Member Memezi, where you say that local municipalities were only informed of their allocations late in the quarter. And my question is, who informed the local municipalities late? And again, I'm under the impression that province and the municipalities, they sit down together and then they plan accordingly. So how is your planning with the municipalities in those areas? Again, also the non-compliance with NHBRC. Chairperson, I get very worried when these government entities are being mentioned as if they are not assisting. And my question is, how is NHBRC assisting you in terms of your houses? Because you've identified a problem to say the houses were not compliant in terms of NHBRC, and I'm under the impression that you're supposed to be working together with NHBRC to correct all those things. So I don't see why it has to form under the challenges. And then the second last, the delay in release of tribal and state land. Which department are you waiting the land from? And did you engage national department to assist you and speak on your behalf? And perhaps HDA, what is their role? Do you work with HDA in terms of acquiring land in the Northern Cape? And what has been the result so far? And the last one is the deceased beneficiaries and untraceable beneficiaries. If you can just put us in confidence to say you have exhausted the following avenues to make sure that you get these beneficiaries in terms of the title deeds. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kata. Honorable Nkatime.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation. Chairperson, I just want to, most of the issues are already covered by the honorable members, but I just want to emphasize on the issue of the targets that were not met. Since these targets were made by yourself, and knowing very well your challenges, how did you measure yourself on those targets, and then at the end of the day you don't manage to reach them? And again, the issue of you mentioned your challenges, but you don't mention the plans or the turnaround strategy on curbing all those hindrances that are causing you not to achieve these challenges, which means even the next financial year we are going to still meet these same problems. Again, Chairperson, the issue of deceased beneficiaries and untraceable beneficiaries, because what I know is before a house is built, there is the particulars of the beneficiary there. What makes this a process to be like that? That you can't trace the beneficiary, because you can't build a house without the beneficiary, which means these beneficiaries are registered first before you can start building that house. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kadimeng. Honorable Macau.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start by welcoming the presentation for my province. I just have a few questions, and also thanking the MEC for being present here today. The issue of the deeds office in Freiburg, there are a number of challenges in particular Hatsukonyana, the housing units that were brought from Northwest, the Swedin housing project.
there are a number of houses where there's a conflict of DP at those units. Is that office not effective enough to also assist, because it's been quite a while since that project has been handed over to Northern Cape? And also in Katsukonyana, in Bankara, we came across a number of households who had challenges regarding title deeds, where you get a person, two people, you know, owning up to a certain house or a certain stand. The non-compliance of service providers in the areas of Katsukonyana, where you find that some units are left unattended to or incomplete. What is the department doing in order to address that? The mining areas of Katelopili, where you find asbestosis roofing, I don't think that has been given attention by the department. And as well as Katsukonyana, the units in Chibisat and in Bongani, Fixi Kasset. These are challenges that our people keep on, you know, raising, but it seems as if there's not attention from the department regarding that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Makausa. Honorable Pam.
Thank you, Chair. I will join the litany of welcomes to the presentation. Well done, but you have had the problems, the complaints, or the pieces of advice that you've been given by the committee. First of all, I may want to know how you are dealing with local contractors, that they are underperforming. Isn't it because you subject them to the tyranny of the principal contractors who don't pay them and then they underperform? I would like to know how you are doing that. The other thing is the NHBRC, you know, that has been addressed. Whilst it, everybody has talked about the issuing of title deeds, I want to even go further to say the spiritual and the moral joy that people get when they get title deeds is unbelievable. There's nothing more satisfying than having a title deed in your hand. If you fail or you underperform in issuing title deeds, those people have got a trauma in them, which is always an expectation which is not fulfilled. And just to address the backlogs or the deprivation that our people have had all these centuries, it would be wise to sort of accelerate your pace in giving out services, because there are people who are so senior citizens, for instance, who have been waiting all their lives. It would be such joy. They would see heaven, as Pastor Memeze may agree, if you give them title deeds before they expire. Thank you.
Pastor. Thank you very much, Honorable Bam. Honorable Fura? Okay. Honorable Tabash.
Thank you, presentation of the Northern Cape led by the MSP and the individual team. Chairperson, let me say that to deal with the spending pattern is difficult when you do not adhere to the overall budget that was allocated to you. So you are able to move that. On your page number 1, 2, 3, and 4, on page 4, on your financial. Your column deals with the size and unit, size and unit. Under new individual unit, I just don't see the clarity. These costs to me are too low a unit. Is this a side service only, or if you are referring to a house, a top up structure as well? Why? Because we have spent lots of money, 34.1 million in August, and then 22.1 million in September. Why there are delays on the drawdown? We also have also two challenges. What the honorable government raised. I wanted to raise that question. What is the plan going forward to overcome the challenges that we have listed here? The final point, chapter 3, is that last year, if I'm not mistaken, this year, your budget had a huge discrepancy, and at that time, you accepted that the HOD was fairly new. Taken over at the time, and we asked the National Department to assist you in terms of cleaning up your books. Yeah, it was, if not that day, it was the end, it was towards the end of the financial year of 2015-2016. It might have been early this year, just before end of March, end of the financial year, end of the last financial year. And we requested that the HOD to see to it that the National CFO and himself assist you in terms of cleaning up those books, and I would like to get a feedback that this has been done. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ngacabashe and Honorable Members. And of course, the last question, all we want is just a confirmation. And if we can probably even hear from the National Department as well, that all has been done. Just one comment from myself around the issue of the title deeds. Whilst you have categorized them, I'm just worried about the last category, the new development, which your numbers are still very low. Because for me, that's where we should be doing well, on the new development, because then by now we should be able to have identified beneficiaries, done everything. That our numbers should be going up on the new development. What are the challenges there? Because for me, that's because if we're going to sit with those low numbers on the new development, it means we'll never then deal with the backlog.
Yeah.
We will always have a backlog. So for me, if we can, at least once we have a backlog, but the new development itself, we shouldn't be having a backlog at all. So maybe if we can able to be explained to us what are the challenges on the new development when it comes to that. Thank you very much. You will decide how you want to respond amongst yourselves, and then the National Department will come in at the end just to say a few words and we call. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I'll start with the easy ones, and then the professional is supposed to also make sure that he earns his salary. But let me start with the title deeds project, honorable members. And I think the criticism is well taken, and I think it's really low-hanging fruit when we give title deeds over. I must indicate to members that, you know, when we joined the department in the 2014-15 financial year, we only managed to achieve 648 title deeds, and we managed with the previous financial year start to really take it serious to an extent of having 8,173. And my mandate to the team is that it's about restoration of social injustice. Now, we then, what happened, honorable members, is there was this conveyance that has been appointed by your municipalities, which we have picked up actually. They have been appointed, but they are not actually doing the work how we would want it to do. What we then did, after we have presented this issue also to SALGA, is that we then appointed also conveyances. And the agreement with our municipalities is that it's on a first-come, first-service basis a conveyancer pay. So, for example, if they have given 1,000 conveyances project for a certain municipality and the lawyers there don't perform, the one that is appointed on COXTA database and perform, the one that actually lodge it with the title deeds, is the one that we pay. So there has been that type of arrangements done to try to intervene decisively on the backlog. And I think the HOD have raised the issue that, because I got a bit frustrated, maybe he's supposed to tell us, because I got a report, there's a number of title deeds that has been lodged. There's a difference between the lodging, it tells us the work government have done. Then there's the production of the title deeds, Honorable Chair, that actually is done by the title deeds office. And then the debate about these two, Cape Town office and Mafikeng, then comes into play. But I think, I hope he has the information. I'm interested on the lodging of the title deeds. The process of the title deeds, it's actually a separate process. Of course, we must report on it, but I think there's an emphasis and a commitment I'm making, Honorable Chair, that we are putting this thing at the pinnacle of the political agenda, and I have as much says to the HOD, and when we come back, we will need to actually ensure that all things being equal, there's real performance, because we have invoked the responsibility of the Estate Agency Affairs Board, which has been tasked to deal with the specific matter. So we are working with the board of the estate agency to help us to accelerate the title deeds issue. One of the major challenges that I've experienced was the consequence. There's a regulation that has been highlighted to me that where a person owes a municipality a money because of a family member that has died, then you are not allowed to issue the title deeds issue. There has been that regulation allowed, and probably the HOD, this was a month back. We then got a legal advice on the matter. I think there was, and I speak under correction, Gauteng have then made the exemption. You can do what we call a political exemption, where it's, because it's our property as a government, where we indicate to the municipality that we are actually waiving the debt component. Now, I'm raising it because I think we had the experience, and one of the issues that I can volunteer, honorable members, is maybe just to give a copy of that dilemma to the chair, because I think maybe other provinces also dealt with it. But there was one province that was a bit smart on it, and we have now followed their route to also write off the requirement. There was a regulatory requirement, and I think we'll take members in consideration around that issues. I think the issues of improper planning, honorable member, it's an issue that we have raised. You'll see what I could never understand. You'll see the drawback. The expenditure against the drawdown in the first month, it's 6%. So out of, you know, the almost 36 million, we spend only spend like almost 4 million. And then one of the issues that I have done with the HOD is that why do you plan when we only receive the money from National Department of Human Settlements? Why do we wait, and then what they do, they say for accounting purposes, they must first receive the money and then they do a project commitment. And part of, and I'll obviously also articulate the HOD, we have then said, look, no. We must advertise now, because procurement processes takes normally 3 months, including the cooling off period of 30 days, Honorable Chair, so that we already appoint the contractor now to the security clearance. When it comes on 1st of April, the contractor is supposed to work without money. Hakiri, because they say they have money. So that is one of the interventions. That's why you can see out of our current expenditure, out of the money received, Honorable Chair, stands at 77%. We could actually have been close to 100% if April and May we were not waiting for the transfer of funds to the. So I think it's a lesson that that we have learned. Honorable members, on the issues of the, I think, let me speak about the non-compliance issue, Honorable Member of Parliament, which I still get used to, Magaw. Thank you very much. The non-compliance of, and I've raised it at MINMEC, municipalities at the historic level appointed, like in Gasofonyane. In Gasofonyane, there's a matriculant that is the MM against the regulations, for example. Now, you can't expect due processes. They appoint a contractor, the contractor don't perform. We ask as the MEC, look, can you put the contractor on default? And can we blacklist the contractor? And then we can't do it because there's no legal basis for us. So what we have done, honorable members, in all the municipalities where we have qualifications and disclaimers, we have assumed via the project management unit of COX that the responsibility of procurement, we have said based on PFMA, when you have a unqualified report, even if it's with not without matters, we'll consider you. But for example, in both Gasofonyane, it's a disclaimer there of a municipality. Sianguma, I think it's a qualified with serious matters of findings. They have not blacklisted those contractors. We have also inquired. Because of what we call patrimonial relations, it's a challenge of patrimonial relations because Sibanebane knows whoever and they are refusing to act. So in Gasofonyane, Honorable Magaus, we are now, you'll see, we are the ones that actually will appoint there. And that was the battle with the municipality. We said, we can't trust you with the funds of our people. So the issues of the CO Deng housing project, it has been raised in Parliament. It's still a challenge after my parliamentary appearance here. Between Northwest and Northern Cape, Honorable Chair, I must confess that I think we will need assistance around that issue. We have not resolved the issues about the incomplete houses, the issues of ownership transfer. from houses as before the cross boundary has been resolved, that has actually been transferred to us. And then I think the last issue that I wanted just to indicate, Honorable Chairperson, I think the issues of the title deeds, and maybe we have not reported it, but we are also now engaging. When we issue a title deed, we do the almost the testamentary will, the will of the people. So part of our responsibility, and it's maybe an add-on service, that we have started to ask our people to give a free will. So on the PNG house, so that there's conflict around the family's issue when you die without a issue, and that was a part of a problem. But look, the one that I'm passionate about, apart from normal PNG delivery, is the title deed issues, members. And I think I'm committing that when we come and report on the last two quarters, that there will be an upsurge around that project, notwithstanding the technical issues that the HOD has been advised he will have the capacity to resolve. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm just going to indicate, Chairperson, that the budget for this financial year is 371 million. For Honorable Shabazz. Then just to indicate that the big problem in the Northern Cape was the fact that the municipalities were the implementers. When I started a year ago, I presented a case to the MEC and gave me permission that as from then on, or for this financial year, the department will be its own implementer. And you will see the reason why the takeoff was then slow in April and May was because we now have to still dealt with the issues around the municipalities and taking over the whole process. I can guarantee the committee, number one is that, you know, especially now September and October, there is a huge difference. We have actually overachieved on especially the units, the completed units. I am confident that we will achieve all our targets for the completed units. The other challenge in the Northern Cape is around serviced sites and serviced lands. I mean, there's a challenge in Kimberley, for instance. The municipalities don't own any land anymore. The pit else owns everything around Kimberley. So it's a challenge to get to service land and to accelerate the service delivery. Perhaps at the next presentation, Chairperson, I will, after the challenges, also indicate what are the steps we are taking to address some of the problems. So number one is that the department will now be its own implementer. There is a project management unit. We have appointed 10 new conveyances to deal with the title deeds, and as the MEC indicated, there's another lot of other actions. I'm confident that as from September, when all the registration of the title deeds are done in Kimberley, it will also be going a lot better. Because you must understand that these conveyances, if my memory serves me correct, we have over 15,000 title deeds that are lying in Cape Town and in Freiburg. We don't have proof, but we suspect that it is lying there and nobody is attending to it. So when the service is delivered in Kimberley, we can actually instruct our conveyances to have staff to go there every day to follow up on the finalizing of these title deeds. During August, we had a political program where we also accelerated the handing over of title deeds that were in possession of the department through our own efforts as from, I would say, 1st of April this year. So the poor planning was because of the fact that the municipalities were the implementers. And I can say you today,
today to you, Honorable Mercy, that when the monies were transferred to them, they did everything else with the money except building houses, which the money was transferred for. So the department now have that responsibility themselves, and I can guarantee you that our planning is a lot better. We have also engaged the Director General and his team, and we have a technical task team and a steering committee to deal with our housing delivery going forward. And his staff serves on those committees. They are also representatives of a representative of HDA, and HDA actually appointed a new provincial manager for the new Northern Cape. He was transferred from the Eastern Cape to the Northern Cape, and they are assisting us with a lot of things, especially in terms of the acquiring of land now, and they actually share offices with us, so we work with them very, very, very closely. Also with NHBRC, also serve on the technical committee. So going forward, we will be able to guarantee that we will reach our targets. As far as the mining towns concern, it's still a problem. I've raised the idea with the MEC on Friday that in February we should have a housing in Daba, which we will then invite the mines to the Indaba, so that we indicate to them what the department or the province's plans are for housing, and that we partner with them going forward to accelerate the delivery. The issue of tribal land is still a problem in terms of the transfer, both by national and provincial public works. And as I've indicated now, the HDA is dealing with that matter going forward. The MEC explained also the issue around the problems with the title deeds is that there are untraceable beneficiaries, and especially those relating prior 1994. You must remember the measures that are in place now on the Rune Academy are in place now. They were not in place 22 years prior to that, so it is a challenge. The other challenge is that the municipalities do not want to assist, and we are in discussions, as the MEC indicated, looking at matters to deal with the matter, to release the title deeds if the beneficiaries are owing the municipalities rights or any debt. And some of them, especially when they have moved into the houses, have started to use electricity and water and so on. So that is a problem. But the issue is broader than that, and we had actually had prepared a memorandum for COCTA MINTEC for the MEC around all of these issues, but we have decided to withhold that a memorandum for presentation to MINMEC, especially when we now look into some of the detail of what are the problems around this. But we will go back and have discussions with the MEC around whether we still perhaps should not take that matter to COCTA MINMEC to deal with some of these issues. We will meet our targets, Honorable Kadime. That I guarantee. Otherwise, I don't have a job anymore. I'm also confident that as a department we have enough measures in place to curb our challenges. There are, however, challenges that are more difficult than others to manage. And you must also understand some things take a little longer to resolve than others. The one is the issue of the dolomite. And that's the nature of the
geology of the Northern Cape and something we can't do something to. I've personally engaged the Council for Geoscience to try and see whether we cannot come up with an easier solution, and he's still working on that. If my memory serves me correctly, we have over 20 applications now for geotechs and appointed consultants to do studies. The only problem is what I have around that is that I wanted the council to do a more strategic analysis of the, especially JTG, so that we do not go out and spend 35 million rand in Kuruman, in Gasogonyane, just to be told after spending the 35 million rand, you can't build there. But we spent 35 million rand on the research and the study to have been done. So hopefully if we can have a strategic assessment of the province, it will go a lot quicker, and we can also don't have to spend so much money in terms of intensive studies around it. I hope I had covered most everything. The drawdowns for August and September was because of the fact that our provincial treasury neglected to gazette the schedule, and the national treasury, the director general, that held the transfer of the funding. It was done in the first week of October, and everything is equal as of now, Honorable Charles. Chair, for the new developments, as I've indicated, I'm confident now with the measures we have put in place, we will make huge strides. And when we report for the second semester, it will be a completely different picture as what you have seen today.
Thank you very much, sir. Any addition? Okay. National Department?
Thank you, Chair. On the title deeds comments, my colleague Neville Chair is going to talk to that. But I think it's important to, you know, to state the point up front that we have been working with the province. There is a steering committee in place. We're gearing ourselves up for the next financial year, because a statement was made by Minister that we need to upskill delivery in the Northern Cape. So we do have a steering committee which is regular. Myself and the HOD, we meet almost on a monthly basis. I think it's also important to state that the issue of the material supply is a major issue, but we've got some plans in place on how to deal with it. And it's not just about Northern Cape, because we think it affects other provinces as well. If you look at the cost of development in human settlements in general, 70%, between 60 to 70% is material supply, which then means if you're not managing that space, you are a price taker. I think we have a bigger budget where we can be a price maker. In other words, we can have a panel of suppliers that we can use to help us to deliver at scale, but at the same time to lower the price. It's also a space that is not well transformed in terms of transformation goals, which is why we're planning to go to MINMEC and make a recommendation to the MECs and the minister on how to deal with material supply. It's quite true that they source the material supply from Gauteng, from Free State, and from the Western Cape. And the province is very vast. The cost of transporting that material is huge. So we've talked about it, myself and the HOD, as to how we can go around that particular part. Because if we don't plan for it, as you put it, it means we leave almost 60% of that part of the chain unattended. So we're going to have to find a way to deal with it. The second part, and I'm glad that the MEC and the HOD are attending to it. The accountability for the performance of the grant lies with the HOD. And the AG has told us several times that it is irresponsible to disperse a grant fund or grant money to a municipality that is a disclaimer. For that municipality to act as an implementing agent. You can't do that, because if things go wrong, it's the accounting officer of the province who's going to be in trouble. I really don't think that a municipality which has a disclaimer should act as an implementing agent in the province, because the grant accountability lies with the receiving authority. In this case, it is the HOD of the province. But I am aware that both the MEC and the HOD have attended to this issue, especially going forward, because in the Northern Cape, municipalities have been acting as implementing agencies. Those municipalities that are doing well, if it's not broken, don't fix it. I think we can work with them. But in instances where municipalities are not performing, I think it's important for the MEC and the HOD to act. I'll ask Neville to comment on the title detail.
Thanks, Chair. Just on the issue around the rates clearances, I think it's just important to note, and I think we, together with Salga and Cocta, I think it's just important, I'm not going to be too technical, but I think for all of us, and I suppose it's one of those things that we've discovered. In terms of Section 118 of the Systems Act, it says that Subsection 1 of that Act, where transfer from a national government, a provincial government, or a municipality of a residential property which was financed with funds or loans made available by a national government, a provincial government, or a municipality, which basically means that all subsidized housing, fully subsidized housing, you do not require a clearance certificate. I mean, that's Section 118 of the Systems Act. We've clarified this issue, and I think perhaps maybe MEC, with the intervention of the DG, and I think we need to acknowledge that, with the intervention of the DG, COCTA are busy, National COCTA Minister, together with the DG, have been requested to issue a directive that says nowhere in the country should a municipality withhold title deeds as a result of this issue around clearance certificates. It's one of those issues which we've raised. And I think so. I think that puts that. I hope that puts that to bed. And we will ask that we do that. Chair, on the issue around the clearance, I mean the issue around the title, the deeds office. I think with the DG's intervention, together with DG Shabane, there's agreement that there is going to be a movement from Cape Town to Kimberley. They've indicated that there will be some delay between now and the end of January when that will activate. So as from January, and I think it's unfortunate that I think the Northern Cape reps were, not because of their own fault, because of financial constraints, didn't attend the last one. But we had that piece of good news. So there will be a lodgement process in Kimberley, and we've got that commitment from the deeds office. So that's there. So that'll resolve that issue, Chair, members, and DG, as a result of DG's intervention with DG Shabane. The third issue is that I think the Northern Cape's doing well. I think we need to be able to indicate. I think if you know, I think Member Memezi wanted to know about the dashboard. It works, and I think MEC Boetus has got that, so he knows how many title deeds have been lodged, where it is in the process, those kind of things. I think the issue, the one thing that we said we will discuss with the province, is to sort out the financial allocations. We will give them an incentive because they are one of the provinces. Just the last point, as a result of the directive from the DG and the minister, we also have upscaled the issue around the planning particularly around the proposal to eradicate the services and housing backlog. And there's a substantial amount of work that's been done there with the province, led by the province together with our assistants and the HDA. At an appropriate time, I think MEC Portis will probably indicate where that is with Minister. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Maybe just one comment, if you can just clarify to us if you are assisting the province on the issue of the houses that were transferred from Northwest to Northern Cape, where there's some challenges in terms of taxes. If you can just clarify for us if you are assisting.
Chair, we have raised the issue particularly around the Northwest because it's not the Northern Cape's issue, it's the Northwest issue, and it was as a result of the Northwest Housing Corporation and those issues. Chair, just to concede, the Northwest HOD has given us the commitment that he will meet together with the DG as well as the HOD for the Northern Cape and resolve that issue. But I think it's a lot more administratively in hand, and an appropriate time we'll come back to you on that.
We get comfort that it will be discussed on the main MEC, even on the sideways of the main MEC.
And the technical main MEC.
The technical MEC. Okay. Thank you so much.
So just to confirm that the issue of incomplete projects, all incomplete projects, is on the agenda of main MEC on the 24th.
Much that takes us a little bit further, and there's comfort in knowing that at least things are being handled. Thank you very much, Province of the Northern Cape, for coming through. Particularly thank the MEC for having fine time to come and see us. We missed you, MEC. We missed having you in this portfolio. That takes us to the end of the meeting. Just to make sure that you have signed the register, attendance register, so that we have proof that you did come. Otherwise, on that note, I think we are done, with the hope that those areas that we have asked us to strengthen, when you come back with the report, we'll deal with those issues. And thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. Maybe before you leave, I don't know if honourable members received an invite from the Portfolio Committee on Rural Development and Land Reform. That there's a stakeholder meeting tomorrow that is discussing the extension of security of tenor amendment bill. They've done. They've done public hearings, and I'm told that the department will be presenting tomorrow there. I don't know who on this and on the yes. And they have invited interested departments that have got something to do with this this bill before they conclude on the discussions. They are busy today and tomorrow. So it is in E249. Those that are available, it's a stakeholder meeting, it's a security of tenor that is also affects the human settlement. So it's there the whole day. So you can just pop in and out if you have the time. I just thought I must have let you know tomorrow. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.